K-Mud Podcast presents.
My name's Sheila. I'm here with Danny.
And Dara.
And this is The Choice Is Yours, where we discuss a topic. We pick a product and we discuss environmental impacts, health impacts, social impacts. And what did we decide on this month?
We're doing avocados.
All right.
Yeah, it's a fun one. And we happen to be in between two very important dates.
Ooh.
The National Avocado Day, which was July 31st, and National Guacamole Day, which was September 16th. So today we're going to do it all about avocados.
Yeah, Mexico is the best. You have two special days for the avocado. I love it. That would be like if, you know, like if the States would have a burger day and France would have a cheese day. That's just fun. I love it.
Yeah, definitely. And maybe the difference is that burgers are not as old, you know, in the States as the avocado has been in Mexico.
Right. Yeah. The avocado, or Pasilla Americana, is originally from South Central Mexico, dating back at least 11,000 years. But it has evolved a lot, as discovered by Dr. Heather B. Thacker, an assistant professor at Texas A&M University. And she has been conducting pioneering research at El Gigante Rock Shelter in Honduras to explore the long-term history of avocado domestication.
So her findings show that avocados originally evolved as a food source from ancient megafauna, like giant sloths and mammoths that lived in the Americas during the last ice age. But after these large animals went extinct, humans began to take over their role in the avocado life cycle, managing and selectively cultivating the trees to improve their usefulness as a nutritional resource.
And Thacker says, through traditional forest management practices, people were selecting bigger and thicker skinned avocados. And by 7,500 years ago, indigenous farmers were able to produce nutritious fruits that were more productive and easier to transport.
It's so cool to realize that, you know, the vast majority of the food we consume today is a product of domestication. But domestication was not like one event, one day.
Right.
It was like a long process that produced an incredible diversity of plants that are extraordinarily adapted to local environment. And that helped humans become the incredibly successful species that we are. Okay, we are also quite complicated, but we are very successful as a species.
Very complex.
Yeah, and the information found by studying the domestication can be used to improve the crops we have today and ensure our continued survival into the future.
Yeah, and that's something to have in mind when we're looking out at regions of monocrops of, you know, any crop, that this is not the way that humans have become so successful. You know, it's been through genetic selection and not, you know, through genetically modified plants or monocropping.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we'll go a little bit into agriculture in a minute, but first, let's take a few numbers about avocados to understand the scale. What are we talking about?
Avocados have become nearly ubiquitous in American society, served at fast food outlets and fine dining restaurants. The U.S. Department of Agriculture reports that U.S. avocado consumption has more than tripled since 2001. And at the height of avocado toast's popularity, more than 3 million photos of avocado toast were uploaded to Instagram every day.
Wow.
In the summer of 2017. That is just a staggering fact.
Wait, we got to say that again. That's just too funny. More than 3 million photos of avocado toast were uploaded to Instagram every day during the summer of 2017.
Too much.
Showing off their avocado toast.
It's definitely a craze.
Come on, Danny. You did send some
avocado toast. I did. I was born and raised in Los Angeles. I was not exempt. Okay. I did not escape that one.
Yeah. And during the Super Bowl, you know, every year, apparently, football fans eat their way through 7% of the annual consumption in a single day.
Yeah, that's too much.
As I've been.
We're losing control.
It is out of control. But have in mind that 90% of all avocados eaten in the U.S. do come from Mexico.
Yeah, U.S. production is concentrated in California and a very little bit in Hawaii and Florida. But the cost of production in California is very high. You know, water availability and water quality issues are there. Real estate is very expensive. The problem isn't unique to avocados. U.S. agriculture production as a whole has been shrinking, and now workers are being taken away.
Okay, wait. Let's step aside for a second. Is U.S. agriculture production as a whole shrinking? So I looked into it, and yes. So we knew already that the numbers of farms were falling due to consolidation, you know, bigger farms buying smaller farms and becoming even bigger. Okay, we knew that. But actually, in total, we have on. So now there's only 28% of the farms that we had 90 years ago. Wow. But the amount of food produced is also declining. I didn't know that.
Wow.
So the States is now relying more and more on importation.
And there was an article in Time.com a few days ago called "A Storm is Gathering in American Agriculture." And it says that grain farmers today are facing the most challenging economics since 2009. Food security is national security. Trade lanes are shifting. Interest rates are high. Commodity prices are eroding. Labor is insufficient and inaccessible. And there is no certainty of a new farm bill or the safety net it traditionally provides. Some of these factors are not new, but the complexity of the combination of issues and the speed in which they are accelerating is. It's not just one thing. It's all of the things. Farm bankruptcies have roughly doubled compared to last year, and we must pay attention to the gathering storm before it is too late.
Wow, frightening. Right? So, you know, our show always talks about agriculture because everything we eat comes from agriculture, and we like to talk about food in that show.
It's important.
So we thought that it was just an interesting fact to just have it in mind that U.S. agriculture as a whole is declining.
Yeah, and today we're talking about avocado, and avocado agriculture is a good example of how the U.S. is relying on importation.
More than 80% of Mexico's avocado exports do come to us in the United States, and its industry is still growing.
Michoacán is Mexico's top avocado producing state, but Jalisco's production is growing, driven by export demand, sufficient water resources.
So export markets generally prefer Hass avocados over other varieties due to, you know, the taste, the texture, the durability. In 2024, avocados ranked third among Mexico's agricultural exports, trailing only beer and tequila, but leading ahead of berries and tomatoes.
But there is some drama involved. Last year in June, Last year in June, two U.S. avocado inspectors were assaulted and detained at a police roadblock in the Mexican state of Michoacán. Did you hear of that, either of you? I had missed it totally. I missed the story, but yeah. The U.S. paused all avocado imports from the state for more than a week, leaving Mexican growers out tens of millions of dollars and rising up the prices of our avocados by 40% for the buyers.
Weeks later, after diplomats and agricultural officials from both countries negotiated new security guidelines around inspections, the massive cross-border trade had returned to normal at the beginning of July. However, this episode underscored the precarious nature of the industry and the immense volatility in a region that provides most of the world's avocados, one of Mexico's most dangerous states and a nexus of cartel power.
Yes, you heard it. Cartel power within your avocado consumption. What? Okay, let's look into it because it is quite a story lasting for years. We had already talked about it in the Chase's Yours a few years ago, but it's just so crazy. Yeah, let's say it again. You are playing with the cartels, with the mafia, not only when you buy your cocaine, but also when you buy your avocados.
Yeah, and this is apparently because the demand for heroin has decreased in the U.S., driven by the growing dominance of synthetic opioids and fentanyl. So drug cartels have pivoted to an unexpected but profitable venture, which is avocados. This has increased violence directed at civilians in the avocado-growing areas.
Michoacán is a Mexican state along the country's Pacific coast with a volcanic belt running through it, making its soil ideal for farming. The state's deep water port has also been critical for the flourishing of drug cartels, which moved into Michoacán in 1980s, fueling a homicide rate that is today more than twice the national average.
The expansion of the avocado market in the state around the same time has been deeply intertwined with violent groups and corrupt public authorities, according to a report by the Global Initiative Against Transnational Organized Crime.
Cartels today also regularly extort producers in production schemes. Local police forces commonly rent themselves out as security for producers, and heavily armed militias known as autodefensa groups have been formed to patrol farms.
The lucrative nature of the avocado trade has made it a prime target for organized crime.
If you want to know more, there is quite a lot of reporting about these issues in latinamericanpost.com.
KMUD is a community radio station in the Redwood region of Northern California. Donate to support people-powered radio at kmud.org.
So let's get into the health benefits, right? Avocados are unique in the world of fruits, primarily due to their substantial healthy fat content, which is essential for various body functions. Here's a breakdown of the key nutrients found in avocados and how they benefit your health.
All right. So healthy fats, predominantly monounsaturated fats like oleic acid, are what's responsible for helping to reduce bad cholesterol, LDL cholesterol, and lower the risk of heart disease and stroke. Pretty good.
Yeah, and avocado also is good for fibers. They have about 7% of fiber by weight, which not only helps digestive health, but also controls blood sugar and aids with weight management.
And then there's the vitamin.
As we should all know, come on, fibers, people, fibers. We need to eat more fibers. Eat avocados.
And then there's the vitamins and minerals. And avocados are a rich source of vitamin C, E, K, and B6, along with riboflavin, niacin, folate, pantothenic acid, magnesium, and potassium. These nutrients help in everything from maintaining immune function and bone health to reducing blood pressure.
And avocados has plenty of antioxidants. It's lutein and zeaxanthin in avocados that are responsible for protecting your eyes against light-induced damage.
And you can't use the nutrients you eat in your body unless it is able to absorb them and put them to work. And avocados really help with this part too.
Wow. So first they act as a direct delivery system. You know, some vitamins like vitamin E are especially good to get directly from food, since they don't absorb as well when you take them as supplements.
Second, avocados help your body better absorb the fat-soluble vitamins like vitamins A, D, E, and K. So when choosing foods high in these nutrients, adding a little avocado can help your body to hang on to them. And then they could also reduce the risk of macular degeneration and cataracts in particular.
And osteoporosis prevention, like the vitamin K that is in there, is essential for bone health. And avocados offer a significant amount of this vitamin, aiding in calcium absorption and bone mineral density.
And for cancer, certain studies suggest that the folate in avocados may help lower the risk of certain cancers, such as prostate cancer and colon cancer.
And so what about avocado oil? They say it's pretty special. What do you think?
Yeah, it was striking to read about the truth about it. That's for sure. But in the country's first extensive study of commercial avocado oil quality and purity, UC Davis researchers report that at least 82% of test samples were either stale before expiration date or mixed with other oils. In three cases, you're going to love this, Sheila. In three cases, bottles labeled as pure or extra virgin avocado oil contain nearly 100% soybean oil.
No.
She's covering her eyes and hiding in the booth right now. An oil commonly used in processed foods that's much less expensive to produce.
Jeez. So most people, obviously, who are buying avocado oil are then interested in all these health benefits we just discussed, you know, as well as the fresh flavor, the mild fresh flavor, and they're willing to pay more for this product. But apparently, because there are no standards to determine if an avocado oil is of the quality and purity that's being advertised, no one is regulating false or misleading labels. That's scary.
Yeah.
So Wong and Hilary Green, that's a PhD candidate, whatever, analyzed various chemical parameters of 22 domestic and imported avocado oil samples, which included all brands they could find in local stores and online. And
in addition to testing commercial brands, they also bought avocados and extracted their own oil in the lab so that they would know chemically what pure avocado oil looked like.
So test samples included oils of various prices, some labeled extra virgin or refined. Virgin oil is supposed to be extracted from the fresh fruit using only mechanical means, and refined oil is processed with heat or chemicals to remove any flaws.
15 of the samples were oxidized before the expiration date. Oil loses its flavor and health benefits when it's oxidized, which happens over time when it's exposed to too much light, heat, or air. 6 samples were mixed with large amounts of other oils, including sunflower, safflower, and soybean oil.
And as we know, safflower, which is also called canola oil, and soybean oil, they are made with genetically modified crops, and they are covered in glyphosate.
And unfortunately, only 2 brands produced samples that were pure and non-oxidized. Those were The Chosen Foods and Marianne's Avocado Oil, both refined avocado oils made in Mexico. Among the virgin grades, Cal Pure, produced in California, was pure and fresher than the other samples in the same grade.
That's important
info. Chosen Foods, Marianne's Avocado Oil, and Cal Pure.
Okay, I'm going to look for those. I'm going to go home and see what I have, too, and check into it.
Yeah.
That's freaky.
It is.
KMUD is a community radio station in the Redwood region of Northern California. Donate to support people-powered radio at kmud.org.
Yeah, let's get into the environment part of this. It's pretty interesting. And let's start with the great news about avocados, because, I mean, there's a good amount. But for the environment, according to the latest Environment Working Group, EWG guide, less than 2% of avocado samples showed any detectable pesticide residue, compared to the over 90% of strawberries, apples, cherries, nectarines, and spinach, which tested positive for 2 or more pesticides.
So if you cannot buy all your vegetables organic, maybe skip the avocado. But buy your spinach and strawberries always organic. Otherwise, they'll be very toxic.
But that doesn't mean avocado farmers don't use pesticides. That only means you don't eat it later. So it is safe for you, which is great. But now let's look into the environment where avocados are grown.
All right. Environmental impact of avocado agriculture, which, let's repeat, 90% of the avocados we consume in the States come from Mexico. So we're mainly talking about Mexico here. So the overall environmental impact of avocados is moderately negative. Okay, not too bad. We're done with. So the main factors behind this are the nitrogen fertilizer use, moderately high irrigation requirements, low land yield, monoculture farming practices, and waste mismanagement. Let's go deeper into all of those.
Okay, avocado production has some eco-friendly components. For example, they use very few pesticides and use cardboard packaging, which has a high recycling rate. However, there are still many aspects to their production that are more harmful to the environment.
Avocados yield around 7 to 13 tons per hectare. This is on the lower end of yields for fruit, which means avocados will need more resources per pound to grow. For example, bananas yield around 100 tons per hectare.
Yeah, avocados are grown on trees as well. So trees, they have these natural carbon sequestration properties. And so some of avocados' environmental impacts are offset by the fact that they are trees, right? However, avocado trees are grown in monocultures, like we said before,
Yeah, there are hundreds of varieties. However, the one that most of us are familiar with today is the Haas variety.
The Haas originated in California in the early 20th century, with a tree planted by Rudolf Haas being the first of its kind. Today, it's grown not only in California, but also in most other avocado-growing nations. It makes up to 90% of Mexico's huge production and is also Colombia's most grown avocado.
Yeah, the dominance of Haas avocados in the industry has led to a lack of genetic diversity within avocado orchards, meaning that avocado trees are essentially clones of one another, sharing the same genetic makeup. And this genetic uniformity leaves the entire crop then susceptible to the same pests, diseases, and environmental stressors.
Addressing the challenges of Haas avocado monoculture requires a multifaceted approach that prioritizes genetic diversity, sustainable farming practices, and climate resilience.
Yeah, that reminds me of the banana story.
Yes, it is the same with avocados. I'd say one of the solutions as a consumer maybe is to buy when you can some different varieties so that producers know that we are interested.
Do you know that the avocado has a unique flowering behavior too? I thought this was interesting. There are two types of avocados, type A and type B. The type A avocado that includes the Haas variety, they open as female flowers in the morning and then they close in the afternoon. And on the following day, they open as male flowers releasing pollen. But there's also the type B avocado, and they have the opposite flowering pattern than the type A. They open as female flowers in the afternoon and then as male flowers the next morning.
So to ensure successful pollination and a good avocado crop, type A and type B avocado trees are often planted in close proximity so that they can then cross-pollinate. For example, if you have a type A avocado tree, planting a type B avocado tree nearby will then enhance pollination and result in better fruit production. The side effect of planting type A and type B trees together is that over time, many natural avocado hybrids occurred.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. Love to hear that.
And hopefully later when we're taking calls, people who do have avocado trees.
Yeah, let's hear it.
We'll call in.
Yeah, so I was reading about another variety that's called Zutano, and those ones are often used as pollinators for other avocados, for example, for Haas, because they have an early flowering. So they are one of the first avocados to ripen each year, marking the start of the avocado season in California. And so while they are not as well known and as good maybe as other varieties, they play a crucial role in the avocado industry by assisting in cross-pollination.
Hmm. Wow. So the process relies heavily on pollinators, primarily bees. While avocado flowers do produce nectar, it's not particularly abundant or attractive to many insects. But bees are still drawn to the flowers, likely due to their pollen.
And you may have understood already, but if some pollination is made between different types, different variety, that means that an avocado has two different parents, and so its babies won't be true to seed. That is why avocados are clones, just like apples.
Awesome. Basic botanical information for all of us.
We all know about clones around here. It's relatable. All right. So now we're going to get into the carbon footprint. On average, avocados have a carbon footprint of around 2.5 kilograms of CO2 equivalent per kilogram. That is all the greenhouse gases resulting from producing and transporting avocados, such as carbon dioxide, methane, and nitrous oxide, rolled into the CO2 equivalent of warming.
The carbon footprint of avocados is more than twice as high as bananas and over five times higher than apples, although it's only slightly worse than tomatoes. And we are not saying that you shouldn't eat avocado, because the global average carbon footprint of most animal-derived products is way worse. A kilogram of eggs has a carbon footprint of 4.6 kilograms CO2 equivalent. A kilogram of chicken comes in at 9.8 kilograms. of the CO2 and a kilogram of beef results, oh gosh, in a whopping 85 kilograms.
It's always beef that really takes up the resources.
Oh my gosh. And cows are so sweet. Which is all way higher than 2.5 kilograms CO2 equivalent per kilogram for your avocado that you're eating.
Yeah. So if you care about how much energy your food consumes, better to eat local stuff always, mainly, right?
Yeah.
But also, okay, banana is the best, but avocado is not bad at all. And obviously, always the minimum possible amount of meat. Sorry, you out there, omnivorous people. We keep repeating it, but eating meat is like the most heavy on the environment of all the diets you can choose from. So a little bit of meat once in a while, yes, for sure, it's good. Why not?
Regeneratively grown meat, local, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, let's repeat those numbers because it's striking. So for 1 kilogram of aliment, avocado is creating 2.5 kilogram of CO2 and beef, 85 kilograms. I mean, that's just what it's like, 40 times more.
And let's just say here, too, that you like all of that nutritional content that we talked about in that avocado doesn't take much. It's like eating half an avocado here or there, or sharing the avocado with your friend. Right. You know, you don't need to be excessively like on the day of the Super Bowl, just like binge eating guacamole and avocados.
Your life doesn't have to be a Super Bowl. You just can get a little bit at a time.
Yeah. So we can, so great. We can even shift the trajectory of like what's happening in this, you know, market if people just eat, less of everything or just don't overdo it. Especially in the U.S., there's this whole like, you know, binge mentality or just, All right. So let's talk about land use. An average of 1,700 acres are cleared for avocado use every year in Mexico. Much of this deforestation is achieved through a loophole that allows agriculture to take over burned forests. So corporations now are intentionally burning forests to bypass deforestation laws and then grow avocados. This is really
that
happening.
Is terrible. Yeah. You know, I've heard that story or like similar stories in Argentina, but also recently in Spain. Like, did you hear in the States that there was this huge fires happening just like up to a few days ago in Spain? And there is the same rumor that the wildfires are being started intentionally for real estate promoters to use the devastated land afterwards. So in Mexico, that would be for avocado. In Spain, apparently, that's to make buildings. That's just crazy.
Wow, that is so crazy. In both Jalisco and Michoacán, it's illegal to cut down trees to cultivate avocados. So that's illegal. But if the land is burned, then there's a change of land use that's permitted. So local farmers have shared that thousands of hectares of trees have been set on fire in the mountains where they live, where then later avocado orchards were installed.
Wow. And according to official data, 14% of avocado orchards in the states are on land previously destroyed by fires. Forests that took hundreds or thousands of years to develop are being destroyed for economic interest.
Yeah, especially because deforestation, you know, afterwards affects climate patterns, causing longer, more severe hot weather spells. It creates soil erosion. It disrupts the water cycle patterns. It drastically alters the ecosystem and influences the lives of countless species, not just the human. You know, for example, the migration patterns of the endangered monarch butterflies, those incredibly beautiful big butterflies. Well, they are suffering of every fire happening in Michoacán.
Yeah, so scary. In Jalisco, the production is growing faster there than anywhere else. There's data from the government's Agriculture and Fisheries Information Portal that says avocado cultivation increased by 527% between 2012 and 2021. So small farmers report that Jalisco, once the picture of biodiversity is fast fading.
Yeah, locals also point to changing climate conditions. For example, Zapotlán El Grande, which is located in southern Jalisco. Hey, for those who don't know, Jalisco is where tequila has been invented and is coming from. Jalisco is Puerto Vallarta, Guadalajara, that's around there. That's that part of Mexico, right? So Zapotlán El Grande in that zone used to be cool and abundantly rainy less than a decade ago, with maximum temperatures around in the 70s. But this May, the temperature reached 100 degrees.
Yeah, super scary. And as avocado production shot up by 500%, crop diversity then plummeted. So in 2010, farmers in Zapotlán El Grande grew 39 types of crops, whereas in 2021, then they cultivated just 15 different crops in the area. So it drastically plummeted.
Yeah, and in some places, there were no corn leaves for making tamales because corn is no longer being cultivated.
Wow. And also many medicinal plants are being burned up, such as mullein, arnica, and sage, and the native fruit trees, such as tejocote, which is the Mexican hawthorn, or apples, pears, plums, pomegranates, black cherries, and blackberries. They're all disappearing. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Yeah, and in neighboring, so in Michoacán that we've been talking about, 30% to 40% of the recent deforestation was driven by avocado production. That's according to Global Forest Watch. In Jalisco, agricultural expansion is the second greatest cause of deforestation. That's, like, we're talking about a big problem, right? Mm-hmm. And that's for us American people to be able to eat avocados.
Right. And then there's also the water usage in avocado farming, and it's a significant concern due to its high demand and the potential impact on local water resources. Avocados require a substantial amount of water for irrigation, which can lead to water scarcity in regions already facing drought. This has resulted in conflicts between farmers and local communities over access to this vital resource.
So on average, growing a single avocado requires up to 70 gallons of water. And then And it's estimated to get 2.2 pounds of avocados, a tree would then need around 528 gallons, rising as regions become more dry. A mature avocado tree requires around 40 to 50 inches of rain every year to remain healthy.
And in regions like Michoacán, where water scarcity is an issue, excessive water usage for avocado farming has exacerbated local water shortages. According to the National Water Commission of Mexico, avocado farming has been linked to the depletion of aquifers, leading to serious long-term consequences for local communities and ecosystems.
So according to a study by Alberto Gomez Tagol of the Universidad Michoacana de San Nicolás de Hidalgo, avocado farms require 4 to 5 times as much water as an equivalent area of pine forest. When avocado trees are irrigated, because their roots are relatively horizontal, water is less likely to seep into the subsoils. So the wells in the region, which would typically accumulate 3 to 4 meters of water, now they only have 1 meter in the boundary.
Yeah, this water scarcity is affecting yields and the health of crops within the region. The expansion of industrial agriculture is endangering the right to food in a country when we're more than 55% of rural households are food insecure already.
In Chile also, the rapid expansion of avocado farming has also contributed to severe water shortages, where avocado farms consume as much as 80% of the water in some regions. But those avocados mainly go to the Europeans for their winters.
Yeah, and what about soil? So continuous planting of avocados depletes specific nutrients from the soil that then leads to a decline in overall soil fertility. The removal of native vegetation to make way for these avocado plantations exacerbates this issue as tree roots help stabilize the soil. The result is a higher susceptibility to then landslides and degradation of the land, which can take decades to recover from.
Yeah, and soil erosion is a critical consequence of monoculture farming, with a 30% increase in soil erosion rates in some regions.
Artificial replenishment is being sought out through fertilizers due to its degradation of nutrient content, enriching soil, which is further impacting ecosystems. These problems will continue without sustainable practices in place.
Yeah, so about pesticides, like I found in some places that they are using just as much pesticides as in other agriculture, mm-hmm. and in other places it says that it's not that much pesticide. So there's a lack of information of the pesticide types, but also the usage patterns and the environmental impacts, because it's Mexico. Hey, yeah. Pesticide use in avocado farming is also a significant issue. So maybe not for us, because as we said, the skin is kind of protecting us from whatever they might put on it. But it may pose risk to the environment and human health, not of us, but of the workers, by contaminating the soil and the water, by harming the pollinators. And also, I mean, I had seen one French documentary that was really showing it, but that was already 10 years ago, so I don't know. But the use of unregistered illegal chemical contaminants. Maybe it is a little better now, because some U.S. Legislators are going there to control. That's the story we're saying at the beginning. Maybe it is better. I don't know. Don't know. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think in some way they're trying to say, you know, there's this research saying that, you know, avocados have low pesticide residue due to the skin. And maybe that's to be like, it's okay, eat those avocados, but it's still not okay to have, like, you know, pesticides being used to grow these, because it's been established that 32 pesticides that have established a tolerance for avocados, and that 14 of these are acutely toxic. So just thinking about how that impacts the farm worker's safety, as well as the overall well-being, their well-being, and then thinking of, like, the neighboring communities in that area where these avocados are being grown.
And pesticides leach into water bodies as well, contaminating local water sources and harming aquatic ecosystems. And pesticides can negatively impact beneficial insects, leading to a decline in biodiversity.
Yeah, all these environmental factors always lead to biodiversity loss, where forest once stood, if there's no more forest, there's less biodiversity. Animals that lived in the forest are losing their habitats, threatening species daily with extinction.
Yeah, which is a very sad truth. And we want all of you listening to be part of this conversation. We're going to be opening the phone lines in a minute here. So the telephone number is 707-923-3911. If you have something to offer to this conversation, please give us a call.
Yeah.
Okay.
And thank you, Cece, for being there and answering the phone.
Yes. Thanks, Cece. And so when it comes to Californian avocados versus Mexican avocados, what's the deal about that? Let's get into that for a minute.
Yeah, okay. So if you live in California, buying local avocados seem to be a better option from, you know, a social standpoint, as it supports an industry with stronger labor laws and no cartel involvement. However, I mean, not that we know yet. Maybe there right. is some California cartel in the Mexico. We don't know. Right. However, it comes with a high environmental cost due to the state's extreme water scarcity most of the years.
California avocados have stricter, more sustainable pest control methods and are grown in pest-free environments, while Mexico's regulations, especially regarding certain pesticides like glyphosates, are different, with concerns about its authorized use of agrochemicals. The recent suspension of the USDA inspectors due to the violence against those inspectors and the potential for destructive pests to enter California.
The USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Services, that's called APHIS, has historically inspected Mexican imports and now delegates this responsibility to Mexico, increasing the risk of pest-infested fruits entering in the U.S.
The five main California counties where avocados are grown are San Diego, Ventura, Santa Barbara, Riverside, and San Luis Obispo.
Growers rely heavily on year-round irrigation, which is often costly and from dwindling sources, and they're under increasing pressure to conserve water. Avocado farmers in San Diego County have increasingly been taking land out of production because of the skyrocketing cost of water. From 2007 to 2021, the cost of water to avocado growers has nearly tripled.
On the other hand, Mexican avocados offer a smaller water footprint. for Michoacán's climate, but are tied to severe social issues and then deforestation. So,
yeah. So I don't know. I mean, expecting small scale growers to protect the environment after the economy of Michoacán has been radically altered in the name of free market and development, that puts the responsibility in the wrong place, you know, saying to the farmers that they are responsible. I don't know.
Right. Yeah.
But at the same time, boycotting Mexican avocados likely would simply lead growers to look for other markets like fentanyl.
Right. So let's not boycott the avocados then. Save us from the fentanyl. Sounds like an easy choice. Really, it's a lot to consider the costs on both ends.
So what do you think? When you go to a store, do you look where the avocado comes from? Do you buy the ones from Mexico or from California or maybe Florida or Hawaii? Because Hawaii has different varieties. Like, I've never had the opportunity to try the Hawaiian varieties, but I got excited reading about them.
Just sounds juicy and good already.
Yeah.
And the other thing about Hawaii is that it's raining way more than in California. Yeah, so maybe actually that could be a good
option. Sounds like it would have less of an environmental impact.
Yeah. Since we did the show last time, Doro, several years ago, I've been looking at the labels and buying them from California because I also feel like it's like, okay, I'm supporting as local as I can. And I'm doing it within season. So then it's like I'm not eating avocado out of season.
Right.
If I can, you know, avoid that, because I do think it's like nowadays it's like all year round. We could eat avocados if we want.
Yeah.
Because we're just that privileged.
So remind us, when is the season in California? When is it in Mexico?
California, it's spring through summer and then early fall.
Perfect.
Okay.
Yeah, I usually try and get Californian avocados in organic, but now I'm kind of just going to be a little more lenient about that. And I just know the thick skin with organic, you know, food is a little less important. But yeah, hearing the statistics from here make me really feel like if I can just get good local ones, that takes precedent over getting some organic farther away ones, you know?
Yeah. And is anyone growing avocado trees here in Humboldt? Anyone having luck with the trees? Like, where are you located?
Doro, didn't you tell me about an avocado farm in Shelter Cove you went to?
Oh, no.
No.
I want to go.
I'm mixing up stories.
Oh, I think we have a caller. All right.
Caller,
are you on the air?
Hello. Brenda Starr here. Hello, all you lovely ladies.
Hi, Doro, Brenda.
And your smiling face.
We're so glad you called in. Thanks for calling.
I have a recipe for chocolate mousse. Mm. So you take the avocado, you add Wonder Cocoa, which is just what it's called. Mm. Now you can add honey if you want to, or monk fruit, whatever. You stir that up, you whip that up, there's your chocolate mousse. And it can be put in the freezer for another day.
Oh, so
wow. I love that. Thank you.
Yeah,
that reminds me of a dessert I just had the other day that was a chocolate kind of cake. We made it gluten-free. It kind of had a brownie texture. And then an avocado matcha topping. That was really divine. Yeah. But chocolate and avocado.
Okay, I'm going to make something now. Thank
awesome.
You.
Oh, thanks.
I'm going to make that soon. That sounds so good.
You're
on the air.
Hi. There are avocados in Shelter Cove.
I knew it.
I think I know there's a nursery that specializes in kind of these more northerly temperate zone varieties. And last thing I'll say is I also made a friend from Kenya, and he said there's avocados raining down onto the ground in their natural, like he lived in a very primitive area around Lake Victoria. And he said they were just raining down in their natural Garden of Eden that they live in. Mm. And I was telling him, oh, maybe someone could make some oil. I'm going to get off the air. Thanks for the show, you guys.
Thanks
for the info.
And we'll just take one more caller and then close up. And caller, we just have a couple more minutes.
Hi.
Great.
I've been buying avocados for years, the small ones, you know, where they sell a bag full of small ones, which is great. I've been throwing the pits out my kitchen window onto landscape. It's not really garden, but I have a few bushes and trees growing there. And to my surprise, a whole bunch of them have sprouted. And let me tell you, they grow so fast.
Wow.
So fast. Like, I'm talking, got to two-story level, 20 feet.
What? They love Arcata.
3 years.
That's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah. And they just, it's become a lush, real lush, like shade tree. It blooms a lot, but of course it doesn't make any. It's the trunk is like a tree. It's like a 4 to 6 inch diameter, super strong trunk that has made it through all the storms, like blowing it halfway sideways.
Yeah. Thank you so much for calling in.
Okay.
All right. See you
then.
Thanks,
everyone.
This has been a KMUD podcast. To listen to other shows and more episodes of this show, find us on all the platforms where you get your podcast and also on our website, kmud.org.